When the energy is high and the music is right, pushing past your limits becomes that much easier. Take a reggaeton run or strength class on the Peloton tread, and you'll quickly see why these are the workouts you've been searching for. Every day brings new challenges from expert coaches who train and speak the same language as you do. Level up your workouts with Peloton Tread. Find your push, find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift-giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Tremendous, big, huge episode. Sometimes I like to eat wontons, and I wonder, was I wrong about China?
Brilliant. This is brilliant.
That's a terrible impression.
Well, in fact, it's fitting, though. Because in this episode, we are studying something that happened to the Americans on English soil.
Ah.
Which is why I'm wearing dollars on my bandana today.
Dollar bill, y'all.
Dollar bill. Mm. So, well, with that, you might as well introduce what we are talking about today.
Today, my friend, we are doing the Rendlesham Forest incident.
Yay! Ooh. We've waited all year to do this one.
Yes.
Because it happened on Christmas Day, and it happens to be Christmas Day.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We're not really doing a Christmas special like we did last year because it flopped hard.
Yeah. It still annoys me to this day that we put so much effort into that episode, and it's one of our least downloaded.
I know. It's terrible. But because it's Christmas, let's do some gifts.
Oh, nice.
I have one for you. Right here. I couldn't be bothered to wrap it, so it's just in a Christmas bag.
Thank you, mate. What have we got here?
Don't look at the label.
What in the world is this? Look at this. This is, for those who can't see on the YouTube, this is amazing. This is a Star Wars light.
Let's get it out. Let's try it.
With different decals, and I can have the Death Star or Grogu, or as some people say,
let's try Yoda.
Oh, baby,
sorry,
Yoda.
Grogu.
Oh, this is amazing.
Baby Yoda. It goes in the slot there. There should be a USB lead there. And I have a battery. Let's give it
a
go.
See if this works.
It should work. It's brand new.
Amazing. And if it doesn't work, we can pretend it works.
Yeah. Oh, no. The lead won't go in. It's almost like it's a USB-C lead and a connector. And whoop, there it is. Oh, okay. That's never coming out again.
Right. That's stuck in there.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got to make him green, haven't we?
We've got to make a green Yoda.
Oh. Oh. Oh, no.
Oh. Are the batteries...
There is no batteries.
Is there no batteries in there? Really?
That's all right. He can stay red. It's
okay,
fine.
Yeah, for today, he can stay red.
Well, that's a lovely gift. Thank you very much, mate.
No problem at all.
I've actually got a gift for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
This is very pirate.
Is it?
Also, I didn't wrap it because I was lazy. So it's in a bag as well.
We just don't do Christmas that way. Okay, what have we here? An indigo bandana kit.
Oh, wow. You can tie-dye your own bandana.
Oh, wow. So you, what, it's just got like a couple of white bandanas in
yep.
there.
And you can do your own patterns.
The dye kit, actually.
And I know your favourite colour is purple, and that's the closest I could get is indigo.
Amazing. Whoa.
Comes with the whole kit, so you can do your own designs. And,
wow.
Yeah, tie-dye your own bandana.
That's cool. I might have to do that.
I hope you do.
I've got a week off work coming up, so that'll be... Where's the dye? Oh, is that the dye? Ah.
Yeah, proper that. Proper kit, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you very much, man. And you've got some cotton in there and some elastic bands to make it proper.
Oh, yeah. Proper job.
Style tie-dye. That is awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much, man.
I thought that was a pretty cool gift for Pirate.
That is a pretty cool gift. I think we're good at picking gifts for each other.
Yeah.
It's a shame I don't have you as my Christmas secret Santa at work this year. Because it'd be so much easier.
Yeah, it would.
Well, I'll just pop that down there. Right, okay. So, bam. Christmas Day. Rendlesham Forest, 1980, I believe it was.
Oh, it was. It started on Boxing Day. And it lasted for 3 days.
I think it started on... Christmas Day.
No, I googled it as well.
Okay,
fair. So I will just mention I'm getting most of my information, or all of my information, from a book called The Paranormal Files: History's Greatest Unexplained Events Revealed, and it's by an author called Leo Moynihan.
Yes, yeah.
So I thought I'd credit him.
Have a look to see if there's an Amazon link that we can put up.
Yeah, I couldn't resist.
If there is, then it will be an affiliate link and we will earn money from it. So
December 26th, 27th and 28th in 1980, and this was in Suffolk in the UK, round the corner from, well, we're in Suffolk.
No, you're an hour away. Yeah.
I'm in Suffolk, you're in Norfolk. Yeah. So let's paint the scene. In a sleepy county on England's east coast, tall trees rise from the low mist as the dark sky fills with glittering stars. This Suffolk forest is usually a peaceful place, but for 3 days over 40 years ago, strange events happened and came to Rendlesham, and that many believe represent a genuine alien visitation. I thought I was going to say abduction then, but it's visitation.
No, no abduction happened. It is a very compelling case. I've been studying this one for years, so... I'm almost a little bit gutted that you got to do it.
That's all right, because I'm sure there's stuff in here that you know that is not in the book.
Undoubtedly.
The incidents were eventually tagged Britain's Roswell.
Yeah.
But what really happened? Did UFOs visit? And if so, did the authorities cover it up? So there's a bit of conspiracy in there as well. Rendlesham Forest in the East Anglian county of Suffolk consists of 6 square miles... which is 15 square kilometres, of conifer trees, heathland and wetland. To its west is the town of Ipswich, and in 1980 the forest lay between two military bases. To its north was RAF Bentwaters, mm-hmm. and to its west, RAF Woodbridge. Back then, both were used by the US Air Force.
Yes.
So you were right, it's Americans on British soil.
Yes.
It was here... Over three midwinter nights, the USAF military personnel... Am I saying that right? USAF?
Yeah.
USAF, it doesn't sound right.
You can say US Air Force if you want
to. I was going to say, that probably sounds a bit better. US Air Force military personnel...
You're American and you're questioning that.
I know. What's funny is my dad was in the Air Force as well. He's probably listening, shaking his head. Oh, no son of mine. Military personnel claim to have seen what even their deputy commanding officer described as a UFO. Bright flashing lights, a strange vessel seen from close range, marks left in the forest, followed by official-looking visitors asking questions. I'm not very good at reading without my glasses, but I can't put my glasses on because they steam up. Events in the quiet region of England have remained legendary within the community of UFO believers. Some maintain that after Roswell, it offers the most comprehensive proof that aliens have visited our planet. Over 40 years on, the events that occurred within Rendlesham Forest continue to fascinate and intrigue us.
They do.
Which is what you said. You've been obsessed with it for years.
Well, I haven't been obsessed with it, but yeah, I've been studying it for a number of years. You can, or you used to be able to, I don't know if you still can, go online and find a written transcript of the radio communication between the Scout Party and the headquarters, online, written out as a transcript for all the nights that these things were happening. It was actually publicly available. I've read that. I don't know if it still is out there these days, because it was probably 10 years ago that I found that. But
well, so it was the transcript of what aliens
their radio
were...
communication, because Jim Peniston and Wally, what's his name?
It's in here. Larry Warren.
Larry Warren, that's it, sorry. They were the two that went out, because there was a report that there was a light in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So they were sent out to check on it, took a radio with them, and the radio broadcast, I guess it must have been recorded, because there was this transcript that you could read. And I think there was even, years ago, a YouTube video that actually you could listen to the radio broadcast as well.
What, hear aliens speaking?
No, you don't hear the aliens. You just hear the military officers speaking about, what they're seeing at the time.
Ah, that's
so it's kind of like minute by minute, like the encounter as it's happening. You can actually read that.
That's freaky.
Very interesting, really.
That's actually quite freaky, to be fair.
If I can find it, I will put a link in the description to the transcript of what went down between them. But in the meantime, I don't want to knock your flow, so carry on.
In the early hours of Boxing Day in 1980, peace on Earth was a precarious thing. This was the height of the Cold War, and the threat of invasion seemed very real. At the two RAF bases commandeered by the US Air Force, security patrols were taken very seriously indeed.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m. that night, when one such patrol at the east gate of RAF Woodbridge spotted a series of strange lights descending into the forest, three servicemen were sent to investigate. The men followed these seemingly blue, red, orange, and white lights. That's strange, having four different colours.
I think there were more than one UFO reported going into the forest, but they only actually had a close encounter with one of them, and that one was, I think that one was glowing very orange, like burning orange through the trees.
Oh, because that's always strange to me. When you see things in the sky, the first thing you go is, it's green and red, that's a plane.
Yeah.
So that's why it caught me off guard when I was like, there's four colours involved. One of them was John Burroughs, whose witness statement was published a year later. It read, "As we went down the Eastgate Road and the road that leads into the forest, the lights were moving back and they appeared to stop in a bunch of trees. Also, the woods lit up and you could hear the farm animals making a lot of noises, and there was a lot of movement in the woods. All three of us hit the ground and whatever it was started moving back toward the open field. We got up to a fence that could separate the trees from the open field. You could see the lights down by a farmer's house. We climbed over the fence and started walking toward the red and blue lights, and they just disappeared."
Mm.
Yeah. And that was John Burroughs. So this guy is the one that you mentioned. So another member of the security team,
Jim Peniston,
also witnessed the lights, but went on to describe a craft, one that he had never seen before in the military. Dark and with the most high... You're going to have to help me out with this
hieroglyphics?
One. Yes.
Yes.
Hieroglyphic-like symbols along its side. I estimated it to be 3 meters, in brackets, 10 feet tall, and about 3 meters wide at the base.
It was diamond-shaped.
Ah!
Yeah.
That would make a great UFO shape.
Yeah.
Diamond-shaped. Because everyone assumes they're discs as well.
Yeah, no, this one was kind of more like a pyramid. It was very angular. So it's fairly flat on the bottom, but diamond-shaped towards the front,
mm-hmm.
and sort of pyramidical as it goes up to like this full height.
Oh, that's bizarre. Peniston later explained, "No landing gear was apparent, but it seemed like it was fixed on legs. I moved a little closer. I had already taken all 36 pictures on my roll of film. I walked around the craft, and finally I walked right up to the craft. I noticed the fabric of the shell was more like a smooth, opaque black glass."
Mm-hmm.
And well, that's come up before with Truman, with the black sphere. Yeah. Or was it a stone they described it as?
Yeah, well, I remember seeing just a short video clip on Instagram the other day of Stephen Greer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying how you can tell the difference between genuine ET craft and reverse engineered stuff that's been created here on England. And he said, just look for the rivets. Oh. If you see seams, you see rivets, you see bolts, that's reverse engineered stuff. And he was like, if it's smooth and seamless, that's more likely to be ET.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
God, I'm getting freaked out just reading this. At daybreak, a closer investigation found no such craft. Burroughs himself did not witness it, but servicemen did report indentations, I got that one right without my glasses, on the forest floor and damage to the surrounding trees. And when radiation levels were checked around these incidents, they were found to be unusually high.
Yeah, above background, normal background radiation.
And that's what you said about...
Well, we'll get to that, but yeah. Yeah, they did. Obviously, they went out and checked it the next day in that exact little clearing that they witnessed the UFO.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing but like a burned patch on the ground. Mm. And like the foliage, you know, was just damaged so it wasn't growing anymore.
Damn. So they're using radiation for these things.
Yeah, there was marks on the trees. I mean, again, there were like photos and stuff that you could find online years ago. I don't know if you still can, but I will look for them and put them in the description.
Oh, I did say at the start it could be covered up.
It could be.
Rumours were rife in both bases. And so in the early hours of December 28th, when Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt, the deputy base commander, heard of another sighting of the lights, he led a small group into the forest to investigate. Holt was a pragmatic military man, keen to quieten all the talk of extraterrestrials. But on arrival, armed with a recording device, he too was astounded by the mysterious lights he was witnessing. The 18-minute recording of Holt is today considered the most crucial bit of evidence in the case. This, after all...
That could be the transcript, then.
Ah.
Maybe it wasn't a radio thing. Maybe it was his,
his recording.
That could be the thing that I read, yeah.
Ah. So this, after all, was a renowned military man, one not likely to make rash statements. In the recordings, Holt is heard to say, "I see it too. It's back again. It's coming this way. There's no doubt about it. This is weird. It looks an eye winking at you. It almost burns your eyes. He's coming toward us now. Now we're observing what appears to be a beam coming down to the ground. One object still hovering over Woodbridge Base, beaming down." So I think that might be the transcripts.
Oh, no. Oh, it was pages and pages.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 pages of transcript that I read. That's just a small extract of what went on that night. They followed the objects through the trees out to the field and then witnessed multiple objects up in the sky sort of dancing around each other with beams coming down to the ground. Light rays, it was just projecting this beam down to the ground, and they witnessed this. And that's all in the transcript.
That's nuts. Do you reckon that's where, like, when you see classic pictures of UFOs, there's always that beam of light, and everyone assumes it's a tractor beam?
Yeah,
but could it just be beams of light?
It could be like sensors, you know, something like that, Star Wars or Star Trek would have.
Yeah,
where they're gaining information just by this beam of light that comes down and bounces back the information. Who knows? This is the thing. It's a technology that's above our level of understanding, isn't it? So
it's like what Joe was saying. It's like we can't comprehend these things.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So this is the aftermath.
Right.
So the night after Holt's investigation, two other servicemen at the base, Larry Warren and Sergeant Adrian Bustinza, also witnessed a series of unexplained lights. Warren later talked of seeing an alien-like being, while Bustinza, that's such a hard name to say, claimed to have watched a craft leaving the area. However, Warren and Bustinza's accounts were not widely believed. While Holt's experiences, recordings, and subsequent statements have continued to be taken seriously, years later, Holt gave an interview on AOL News reaffirming his belief that what he saw was extraterrestrials in the interview.
Yeah. That is a very, very brief summary of Rendlesham, in fairness, if that's the end of it.
No, there's a bit
more.
Oh,
okay. Fair, because the third night, I think the objects actually approached the airbase and, like, literally flew over the top of the airbase as though it was scanning, maybe for nuclear missiles or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think they said that it started messing with, like, their electronic devices and, you know, their radio equipment and that sort of thing. And it just literally hovered over the airbase for, like, half an hour and then just disappeared.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Isn't that crazy? The American bases have all this, like, technology and all these weapons and things, and something can just fly down, take all the information they want, and not have to infiltrate.
There's been reports where literally UFOs, particularly over in America, have gone to air bases that have nuclear silos, and they've just disabled the nukes.
Really?
Yeah.
What, things just flying over, disabling them?
Yeah, just disabling them. They're not able to arm any of the missiles or any of their armed response units or anything like that, because it's just been disabled.
That's freaky, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's incidents like this that it does heighten the belief of aliens.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Particularly when it comes from, like you say, reputable military reports.
Yeah, colonels, lieutenants.
Yeah, they're not allowed to lie on their reports about what they've seen, you know, because government or the higher-ups want to know.
Yeah.
So that they can cover it up.
Yeah, that sounds about right. He stated that the Ministry of Defence in the UK had, in fact, picked up two incidents on radar. I didn't know this until recently, he has explained, because people have come forward after they've retired. There were two radar confirmations. Another strange occurrence happened just days after the reported sightings. Oh, this is another last name. Vince Thurkettle, great last name.
Yeah,
Vince Thurkettle was a local man who worked in the forest. On December 29th, while chopping wood, two suited, well-spoken men approached him and began to ask him questions. Men in black.
Yeah, definitely.
Among the approximately 20 questions they asked were whether he had been out of the house the night before or seen anything strange recently. Thurkettle presumed the men were journalists, but when nothing appeared immediately in the press, he wondered if they were instead UK government officials. So what were So men in black, would they be all around the world?
Yeah.
They would be, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Because obviously you've got the subdivisions of, like, MI5.
Yeah, but there's many theories on the men in black. And are they actually human or are they alien or, you know, whatever origins these UFOs come from? Are they actually government or are they black ops? Are they even people?
Yeah, because when we'd done the episode, they all seemed to have, like, a similar look.
Yeah. And they got that magic ability, you know, to hypnotize that woman instantly.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I mean, yeah, they're mysterious themselves.
Freaky. Nothing like the film.
No.
The UK government, however, later said they knew nothing about the incident until they received a written report from Colonel Holt a full 2 weeks later. To this day, Thurkettle has no idea who the men were, but 3 years later, after an English tabloid ran a story about the incident, the Ministry of Defence issued a statement saying no evidence was found of any threat to the defense of the United Kingdom, and no further investigations were carried out. So skeptics believe it was a light beaming from the Orfordness lighthouse that tricked the witnesses.
Oh, 20 miles away, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so, I've heard that theory. Don't believe it.
Yeah. So this is a little section on the skeptics.
Go for it.
So the Rendlesham incident continues to intrigue those who believe. We have been visited by alien life forms, but for skeptics, the incident can be explained in a very down-to-earth way. Astronomers and locals are convinced that the lights were a combination of the lighthouse beaming miles away, playing tricks on the servicemen, and various natural phenomena. Astronomers' assessments suggest that the lights that Holt had witnessed matched the position of Sirius.
Sirius, yeah, the brightest star in the sky.
It literally says Sirius, the brightest star in the sky.
Oh, I'm correct on that one, am I? Right, okay.
That was amazing. It's literally like you read the page.
The thing is, it's quite often it's not Sirius that gets mistaken for a UFO. It's Venus.
Yeah, yeah, you've said that before.
Because Venus outshines Sirius when she's close. And she's a morning star and an evening star. And quite often when she's an evening star, it's just hovering there. And for all intents and purposes, looks like a UFO. And it gets reported to the police as a UFO. And they have to obviously... it's not a UFO. It's a planet.
Got another call about Venus again.
Yeah.
So, lights are winning the brightest star in the sky. While the descending nature of the light could be explained by the fact that the sightings coincided with a bright fireball spotted over southern England at the time, such fireballs are often given as common reasons for UFO sightings. I've not heard that.
As in, like, ball lightning or something? It
says fireballs.
Fireball, yeah, because, yeah, they naturally just float around the atmosphere all the time, don't they?
I don't think I've ever seen a fireball. No. The only time I've ever seen a fireball is Liu Kang in Mortal Kombat, I think.
Yes. Shaken.
The marks on the forest floor found the next day have since been debunked by local police and foresters as merely the results of digging by rabbits.
Atomic rabbits.
Yeah. Radioactive rabbits. And in 2018, a British UFO researcher suggested that the whole incident was actually a prank set up by the British SAS as a revenge after a training incident months before had seen SAS men beaten up by US servicemen.
I don't believe that to start with.
No, I think that would have been investigated, don't you?
In one of my bands a few years ago, we actually had... a guy from the Air Force Base, RAF Lakenheath, American. And when he came over to the UK, literally his commanding officer said, don't challenge the English to drinking competitions, you will lose. Don't challenge them to a fight, you will lose. You know, those are his two instructions that he was given about, you know, intermingling with the English.
Yeah. And touching on that, you are right, because my neighbour opposite is American military, and he says when he goes out with his friends sometimes that the English people kind of recognise that they're American, and they kind of puff their chests out and kind of say things like, oh, you think you're hard, do you? And they're like, no, we just want a quiet drink. So the last little section is titled, Did They Come Back? So in 2015, a dog walker called George Taylor spotted strange balls of light above the forest, accompanied by what looked like a military helicopter. Taylor couldn't explain what he saw, and having uploaded the video to YouTube, wrote, spotted three balls of light in the sky yesterday afternoon whilst walking around Rendlesham Forest and couldn't believe what I was seeing. Had a very weird feeling that I shouldn't have been there. Quickly recorded it on the phone and have uploaded it to see whether anyone else witnessed anything similar yesterday too. Very strange. He regularly takes his dogs for a walk around the area and has never seen anything as strange as this. So... did they come back in 2015?
35 years later, there's a possibility.
But that is pretty much everything that this guy has written on Rendlesham Forest.
Well, I can definitely point out one or two things that he has missed out there.
Yep.
Firstly, Jim Peniston, mm-hmm. the guy who had the close-up experience with the actual UFO, and you said he witnessed the hieroglyphics on the side of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
What it doesn't say in that book is he actually touched the craft.
Ooh.
And he received like an electric charge in his head.
Ooh.
And for the next several days, he had all these noughts and ones, like patterns of noughts and ones going through his thoughts and his memories, and he couldn't shake it. So he wrote them down, and he filled up in a notebook, 12 pages, all in just noughts and ones, as we consider it to be called binary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the language of binary.
Yeah.
Now, got it on my phone here. My phone is in flight mode, so it's not going to bing off or anything. I did take a quick screenshot the other day. Someone actually went through his binary and tried to translate it. And they translated it into 8-bit ASCII, which is computer code.
Okay.
You know, the basic function of a computer, everything is noughts and ones, yeah?
Mm.
And you've heard of like 8-bit, 16-bit, 32-bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the number of zeros and ones in a square that make up a language.
Like a code. For
the computer. Yeah, for the computer. If you wanted to write out the alphabet, each letter in the alphabet it's got its own 32-bit combination that will in zeros and ones. That's what the computer is figuring out, you see. Because, like I say, the most basic function of a computer is it just works in noughts and ones.
Yeah.
It doesn't work in A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So this guy ran it through a translator into ASCII, and there is a little bit of interpretation here because it does say on the website that some of it is missing
from
like bad translation or bad transmission or whatever, and he's had to fill in some blanks. But what it read was, or his version of it, was Exploration of Humanity 666-8100. Then it comes up with some coordinates, 52.094253 north by 13.131269 west. Continuous for planetary we imagine that would say advancement. But obviously it just says advan, and then the rest is missing. Fourth coordinate, continue, and then there's a bit of blah, 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 where he's not able to figure it out, and he's kind of made it up. And it says before. And then it gives just a whole bunch of coordinates, 16 degrees north by 89 degrees west, 34 degrees north by 111 degrees west, 29 degrees north by 31 degrees east, you know, etc. There's 6 entries of that. And it says, eyes of your eyes, origin, 52.094253 north by 13.131269 west. Origin year, 8100.
8100?
8,000, the year 8100. So,
what?
The theory is that this extraterrestrial visit wasn't extraterrestrials at all. It was humans time traveling back in time 6,000 years to study their own history.
That now, is freaky.
Now, I've got to say this. People have retested or run the same binary code that Jim Peniston wrote out
mm-hmm.
through their own ASCII machines and whatnot. And a lot of that, what I've just read out, is kind of open to interpretation. Because I'll say, I've got another little screenshot here. And a lot of it is gobbledygook. I can see Exploration OG Humanity 6 Lua, and then there's like copyright EI, copyright Q, plus minus. You know, it's just a whole bunch of gibberish.
Yeah,
so
just rubbish.
How he, you can see that on the, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So how he has actually made up all of those sentences and come up with the year 8100 and stuff, I don't know. On all of those sets of coordinates, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody out there is a whiz on because you can find this sort of stuff and test it for themselves. I'm only going by reporters that have heard this story and retested it and stuff. And but yeah, that is one That's of the theories is that that it's actually future humanity coming back to study us. But Jim Peniston, he is absolutely convinced that binary code that he was sort of mentally or psychically inferred with, he insisted that is genuine.
Yeah.
And someone has tried to decode it, and whether that is believable or not, I can't say for 100% sure.
Yeah.
But some of it, you know, some of the words exploration of humanity does come up if you translate the binary into...
So there's still a little bit of truth in there.
Yeah, there's still something there. I mean,
yeah. And you said about... we've got to come back to the Larry Warren.
Oh, yeah, I think it was Larry Warren. Whoever the guy was that accompanied Jim Peniston for that very close encounter that he had, obviously you said that there was elevated radioactivity.
Yeah, high levels.
Yeah, yeah. And not Jim, but the other guy, I think it was Larry, I saw in a TV documentary not too long ago, only a couple of months ago, following this story, that in recent years he started having some bad health problems with like his internal organs and stuff starting failing and stuff like that, and things that you would associate with radiation poisoning. Mm. Well, this is it's happened over a very long period of time.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, his mental resources are not what they used to be and that sort of thing. He's almost falling apart at the seams, the poor guy. Feel so sorry for him. But interestingly, Jim Peniston, who touched or allegedly touched the UFO, doesn't report any radiation sickness.
Nothing.
No. And he's, isn't it? You can see him on documentaries on the Rendlesham Forest, and he still looks like a 50, 60 year old, perfectly healthy guy.
Wow. That is interesting. Maybe it's the aftermath of it. So, like, the radiation was left.
Who knows? I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Well, what a story that is.
It's an amazing one. I do encourage people to look into this more themselves. This book, I mean, that's a good little summary of it, but there's so much more to Rendlesham than what this guy's... I almost feel like this guy's written it as though he doesn't believe it himself.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And that is my fault as well, because I said to you before we started, like...
You did have limited time to do your research.
Yeah, I had a hell of a weekend, and it was a very short amount of time. And I saw that book, I saw that was in there, and I thought, you know what, let's go for this book. Read it through, and I was like, that's not too bad. But I knew you knew a few things on it as well.
Yeah, so. I could expand on that one all day, mate. Like I say, it is one of the most interesting UFO... encounters in this country in recent years. There are a couple of others to note, which we might do episodes on in the future. That one, being a Christmas episode as well, it happened around Christmas. So, yeah, well done, mate. Well done.
And it also is very intriguing to me at the fact it happened in England, because I said it before to someone, I think it was Philip Manson.
Yeah, yeah. Why does it always happen in America?
Yeah,
well, it didn't happen in America, but it still happened to Americans.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so half wrong on that one, I guess. But yeah, it's good that it's kind of local. So it makes me want to go check out Rendlesham Forest.
Yeah, I don't think you'll find much on any given day. You just had to be the lucky or unlucky, however you see it, be there at the time, I suppose. The same with most UFO encounters, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can go and hang around a hot spot and see nothing year after year after year, and you just get lucky that time.
Yeah. Very interesting.
But I would rate this, because I've studied it so long, I've got to rate it very high. Because, like I say, I have read the transcripts. I have seen multiple documentaries on it and done a lot of studying over the last 10 years on this incident. So
I almost feel like you should have done it.
I probably should have, but I'm gonna give it a 9.2 because I believe in it a lot.
Yeah.
But I still obviously think that there is, I mean, there's a lot of evidence that comes with it as well, but with the stories, with like the binary and that sort of thing, there is also some scope for personal error.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So I'm going to notch it down by, I'm going to go 9 flat actually. Nine flat. I'll take it down by one and give it a 9 flat.
I'm going to go straight in with an 8.5.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I didn't know about it until you mentioned it. And you were like, oh, Rendlesham Forest happened at Christmas. And I thought, okay, let's have a look at that. And reading that and everything you had to say as well, I don't think it's rabbits. So.
Definitely not radioactive rabbits.
Yeah, it's definitely not that. Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8.5. I do. There's something about the story. I do actually quite believe it, to be
yeah.
fair. And like, because it's Britain's Roswell, that's what it's kind of called, is known by.
One of, yeah. I've heard a few different cases called Britain's Roswell, but yeah.
But Roswell's such an intriguing thing as well. And
yeah.
It would be interesting to see what we gave Roswell back in the day.
I can't even remember, to be honest.
If this is Britain's Roswell and this is higher than that, that would be funny. But no, I'll give it an 8.5, which makes our average 8.75.
Well done.
Come on.
Well done. We've got two decimal places there as well.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so if you at home, if you have heard of this story, if you're related to anybody that was in, that this story happened to, or even you've had your own UFO encounter, please write to us.
Mm.
Send us a line. You can contact us at paranormality.uk@gmail.com. You can come and find us on Discord. There is a link in the description, always. You can come find us on Instagram, TikTok. We do now have a Facebook page as well.
Yeah.
That our IT guy has made up, and he is running that for us. Thank you. I'll call him Penguin.
Oh, he wants to be anonymous.
That was his username on Discord, and I don't know if he wants to remain anonymous or not, so I'll just call him Penguin.
nice.
So thanks to Penguin, we now have Facebook. And obviously, we have a Patreon account. If you feel like we're giving you good value in a podcast and you'd like to donate some money towards the
show?
The show, then that would be...
And you're fed up of adverts?
If there's adverts on there.
We don't know at this point.
At this point, we've applied for them. If anybody wants to give us adverts.
Yeah, and we've got big things coming up for the new year going in. Got some good cases to cover, a little bit of rebranding, a little bit of...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. We've also got a graphic designer that's come on board helping us.
What should we call him? What's the opposite of Penguin?
I don't know.
We'll call him Polar Bear.
Yeah, Polar Bear, that'll do. But yeah, he's doing us some brilliant artwork and rebranding our logo. So if our logo changes one of these weeks and you're not expecting it, then that is why. But it shouldn't be too dissimilar to what we've got already. So
yeah, we've got some big things coming.
Yeah, we've got big things in the pipeline. We're a proper podcast now, aren't we? Yeah, not just a hobby anymore.
Yeah, getting there.
We are. And so yeah, until next time. I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
When the energy is high and the music is right, pushing past your limits becomes that much easier. Take a reggaeton run or strength class on the Peloton tread, and you'll quickly see why these are the workouts you've been searching for. Every day brings new challenges from expert coaches who train and speak the same language as you do. Level up your workouts with Peloton Tread. Find your push, find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.